Has been short, but sweet and exciting and inspiring to me and hopefully to everyone. We've had a wonderful day today so far. We witnessed the ordination of two deacons, how awe-inspiring that was. I'm so glad that I was able to be here and be a part of this with your congregation. Then we had a wonderful lunch. There was banana pudding, so that really made it all the better, even though I didn't mention it beforehand, and all the food was wonderful. And I appreciate that, and we appreciate you sisters, whoever helped prepare our meal. And now we've come to the final service in our series of meetings. And I know that we've had a long day, an exciting day, and you're full of food, and it's nice and cool, and you're going to get real still, and I'm going to lose you if I'm not careful. So I'm not going to talk real long this afternoon, but I want you to focus, and I'm going to try to focus. And I've got some things to say which I believe will be a blessing. It hopefully will be encouraging and uplifting to us as we strive to serve the Lord and be what He would have us to be. Over in Proverbs 28 and verse 1, Solomon said, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And I want to say this evening, if you're right with God, and there's only one way to know you're right with God, that's according to God's Word. But if you know according to God's Word that you're right, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. You don't even have to be afraid of the devil. You can be bold as a lion in serving the Lord. And so I want to encourage you in this last sermon to be bold this week and the rest of your life. Be bold in standing up for the Lord. Be bold in speaking out for Jesus. Bold as a lion. I want to talk about this idea of being bold as a lion. And what we're going to do is we're going to notice some incidents in the Bible where some men were bold in serving the Lord, bold as lions. In fact, lions in some of these instances are even a part of the story. Now, the first man I want to talk about is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament, a man named Samson. Now, you know, sometimes when we talk about Samson, we focus on his weaknesses. And he certainly did have weaknesses, and we'll bring that in. But Samson was a strong man, not just physically, but spiritually. He had weaknesses. He made mistakes. But he was a man focused on serving God. He had a miraculous birth, you remember. And God prophesied to his parents that he would be a judge and a deliverer. And when he grew up, he became a great judge and deliverer of Israel. He delivered them from their enemies, the Philistines. The amazing thing about Samson, the thing that really stands out about Samson is he had to do it all by himself. The Israelites, for some reason, were so scared, they cowered so much that they wouldn't help him. And they even betrayed him, as we're going to see. I've often thought, if the Israelites had stood up, if they'd followed Samson, Samson could have led them to a complete victory. They could have completely eradicated the threat from the Philistines, but they wouldn't. And so Samson had to do it all by himself. And that explains sometimes his failures and the problems that he had. Every time I think about Samson, I think, of course, about his physical strength. You know, I used to think that Samson was probably a giant of a man, maybe 6 feet six and 300 pounds like some of these linemen that play football. But you know, the Bible doesn't describe him that way or any other way. And so really, here lately I've been thinking that he was probably an ordinary sized man. Probably looking at him, there was nothing extraordinary about him. He didn't have bulging muscles. In fact, the Bible says the only time that he became strong and he worked some of these great feats of wonder is when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, as we're going to see. It seems like he wasn't always strong. He wasn't strong because he lifted weights. It was the Lord that gave him his strength. And as long as he was faithful to his commission and faithful to the Lord would bless him and God's Spirit would come upon him when his strength was needed. One of the incidents, we could look at many incidents, but one of the incidents which is just so remarkable in the life of Samson, on one occasion the Philistines were tormenting the children of Israel and they'd even done some things to Samson. And so Samson went out and he caught 300 foxes. Now, you may think you're a trapper, but have you ever trapped 300 foxes? Somehow he captured 300 foxes. He put them in some kind of a pen or an enclosure. Then he went in there and he tied their tails together. Two by two. He got two of them and tied their tails together somehow. Then he took torches, the Bible says, and somehow tied the torches up in the tails of these two foxes tied together. Now you can, don't do this at home as we say, but you know you've heard about tying two tomcats together by the tail and throw them over a fence, a clothesline. Don't do that. Don't try that, anybody. But you can imagine what a spectacle that would be. Well, he went in and tied their tails together, tied a torch up in their tail. Then he ignited the torches, took them out where the Philistines had their wheat. Their wheat was standing ready for harvest, and turned them loose. Well, what a sight that must have been. You can see those foxes going around and around with their tails on fire, and they went through the fields, and the fields of the Philistines caught on fire, and he burned up all their wheat, burned up all of their crop. Now, they were mad, to say the least. In fact, they came down to a town among the Israelites where Samson had been seen last, and they said, "Where is he? We've come to arrest him." Now, Samson was in a cave just outside of this city. And so they told these people, "If you don't turn him over to us, we're going to burn your town down, just like he burned up our wheat." Now, I want you to get this. The Bible says 3,000 Israelites went up to the cave. 3,000. They went up there where Samson was holed up, and they said, "Samson, what have you done? Don't you know we serve the Philistines? We're going to have to turn you over to them." You know, as I said a minute ago, you would think with Samson's great strength, and they knew the strength that he had and God was with him, 3,000? You think they would say, "Samson, lead us, man. We'll follow you. We can defeat these Philistines," and they could have, but they're so scared. And so they say, "We're going to have to turn you over." Well, Samson says, "I'll let you do that if you'll promise you won't kill me." And so they promised, and they tied him up with some ropes, and they took him down the mountain. Now the Philistines, I don't know how many Philistines there were, thousands I guess, but they saw him coming, and they began to shout. They began to jump up and down, "We've got him, we've got him." And they took him by the rope, and they led him down the road. Now they're going down the road, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he all of a sudden took those ropes just like they were thread and broke the ropes. Now Samson was unarmed, but by the side of the road was the carcass of a donkey. By the way, the Bible says it was fresh. It didn't smell too well, I'm sure. It was a fresh, dead donkey. And he reached in and pulled out the jawbone of that donkey, and with the jawbone of a donkey, he killed 1,000 Philistines. The Bible says he smote them hip and thigh, and he piled them up. I've often tried to picture this. I guess they came running at him, and he knocked some this way and knocked some that way and just piled them up, 1,000 of them. And the Bible says the rest fled for their lives. And what a tremendous victory it was for Samson and for the Lord. Now, Samson had a sense of humor, a wicked sense of humor. It got him in trouble, really, as we're going to see in a minute, with a woman named Delilah, and he liked to joke around. And so Samson, there was a hill right there, and he named the hill Ramoth Lehi. Now Ramoth Lehi means jawbone hill, or jawbone height. And so from then on, when somebody would come by, they'd say, "That's Jawbone Hill. This is the place where Samson killed all those Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey." He was an amazing man with tremendous strength. One time, you remember he fell in love with a Philistine woman? And he went down to the city of Gaza, which was a city among the Philistines. And he was there with this woman one night. And the people of Gaza knew he was there, so they set a guard for him. They said, "We're going to catch him when he leaves in the morning." Well, somehow or other, he found out about it. And at midnight, he rose up and went to the gates of the city. Now, these gates were made out of iron. And it took several men to pull them up and down with a pulley. And the gates were closed. And Samson went to the gates and took hold of the gates and just pulled them out of the wall, the whole contraption. And then he carried them to a mountain just outside of Hebron, took them up on a mountain and left them there. Now, if you look in your Bible, from Gaza to Hebron is about 25 miles. You talk about a super weightlifter. You talk about a great athlete. He carried these iron gates 20-something miles up a mountain and left them there. And I guess he thought if they want their gates, that's where they'll be. He was a superhuman champion, but it was God, of course, who gave him this power as long as he was faithful and as long as he kept his vow to God. Now, part of his vow, he was a Nazarite. And a Nazarite, one of the things about a Nazarite is he wouldn't cut his hair during his vow. And his hair, and this was a sign of the covenant between he and God. Now, he fell in love. We know the rest of the story, the sad story. He fell in love with a woman named Delilah. By the way, was Delilah a Philistine? All my life I've heard that Delilah was a Philistine, but we don't know that. It could be. Some have suggested she was an Israelite. And if so, that makes her betrayal even worse. Whether or not she was a Philistine or an Israelite woman, she was in with the Philistines. She went to the Philistine warlords. She didn't love him. He loved her, he thought, but she didn't love him. And she went and said, if you'll give me a certain amount of money, I'll find out the secret of his strength. So they agreed to that. And so she tempted him. She said, tell me the secret of your strength. And he joked with her. He told her one thing and another, playing around with her, really. And finally, men, young men, she used the weapon that no man can resist. And women have learned this. She cried great big crocodile tears. And she said, you don't love me. If you really loved me, you'd tell me the truth. And not many men can take that. And so Samson broke down and he told her, it's my hair. I'm a Nazarite. The locks of my hair have never been cut. If they're cut off, I'll be like any other man. And so she caused him to go to sleep on her knees, and a servant came in and cut off his hair. And the Philistines came in and she began to beat on him. She said, wake up, Samson. The Philistines are upon you. And the Bible says he woke up. He stretched. He said to himself, I'll throw them off, just like always. But the Bible, in parentheses, says the Lord had left him and he didn't even know it. How sad. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people today who think they're going to heaven. There are a lot of people who think I'm going right through the pearly gates someday, but God has left them. Because they left God. And when we leave God, He leaves us. And the sad thing is, they don't even know it. Samson didn't realize the condition he was in, how sad. Well, he didn't throw them off this time. They bound him. They burned his eyes out. I understand the way they did this. They took a hot iron. They put it in coals till it was burning hot. And then they just poked one eye out and poked the other eye out. Then they took him and they hooked him up to a grinding wheel, like an animal. And around he pushed the wheel, grinding out the wheat. Well, time passes. I don't know how much time passes, really. But the Bible says Samson's hair begins to grow back out. You ever notice that? I used to wonder about that. Why did the Bible tell us his hair started to grow back out? He quit cutting his hair. He let his hair grow back out. That meant he'd repented. That's what that means. That meant he'd renewed his vow to God. And he started letting his hair grow back out. And God honored that. One day the Philistines gathered in this great big stadium. Thousands of them were there in the stands. Some were sitting up on the top, the Bible says. And they were having some kind of sporting events. And the crowd began to say, bring out Samson. Bring out Samson that we can make fun of him. Now they weren't just making fun of Samson. They were making fun of the Lord. Of Jehovah. Samson was God's champion. They knew that. Bring him out so we can make fun of him and the God of the Israelites. So a little boy brought him out. He's blind, you know. A little boy brings him out to the middle of the stadium. And Samson tells the little boy, lead me to the two columns, the two pillars that are the main support of this stadium. And the boy does. And Samson reaches around and gets his hands on them. And then he prays a prayer. And you talk about a great prayer. Samson says, Lord, be with me just once. One more time be with me that I can avenge myself against these mine enemies. And God heard that prayer. God honored his repentance and his commitment and his prayer. And he leaned on those columns and they quivered and they shook and they came down and the whole stadium came down. And the Bible says that he killed more Philistines on that one occasion right there than all those other times put together. And as the place was collapsing, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he died. He died a hero. Now, he made a bad mistake. He made a terrible mistake, and he suffered for it, but he came back to God, and he died a hero. And Samson's a hero to us. He was bold as a lion. By the way, one time before this, Samson was walking down the road, and a lion roared against him. A young lion came at him, and Samson didn't have a weapon. And that lion attacked him, and he tore that lion to pieces with his bare hands. Left the carcass there. Came back later, and some honeybees had made a hive, a honeycomb up in the lion's carcass, and he scooped it out and ate it. He was bold as a lion. And listen, he was all by himself. And I want to say this to everybody, especially to the boys and girls in the audience. Sometimes you have to stand alone. Sometimes there's nobody else to stand with you, and that's hard. When you have to stand up all by yourself and do what's right. But you can do it. Samson did it. And you can be bold as a lion because the Lord's with you, as he was with this man Samson when he was standing up for the Lord. But next, I want to talk about another favorite hero of mine in the Bible. Couldn't talk about lions without talking about Daniel. Now, we know the story of Daniel. Daniel was just a teenager. Went along with his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken captive into the land of Babylon. But now listen, Daniel has been in Babylon for 70 years. He's 85 or 90 years old. He's an old man now. In fact, the Babylonian Empire has fallen and been displaced by the Persian Empire. And there's a king of Persia named Darius. And Darius loves Daniel. Daniel is a governor, along with some other governors. And Darius decides he's going to promote Daniel to be head over the whole country. Well, this prompts some jealousy. And the other governors and the other rulers decide they're going to bring Daniel down. They come up with a plan. They come to the king. The Bible says they come running into the king. They said, "King, you need to sign this decree." The decree says that if anybody prays to any god except you, you're a god, Darius. So if anybody prays to any other god but you for 30 days, he's to be thrown to the lions. Well, Darius got the big head. They can't pray to any god but me. So he signed the decree. Now, he didn't know they had Daniel in mind. He loved Daniel. He'd never signed this if he thought that was the deal. And so the Bible says Daniel knew the decree was signed. And he went up to his upstairs apartment, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and got on his knees and prayed to God three times a day, just like he always did. I've wondered about this sometimes. Why did Daniel pray toward Jerusalem? You ever wondered about that? This was what he did every day, three times a day. He couldn't see Jerusalem. He knew it was that direction, and he prayed toward Jerusalem. I'll tell you why. That was home. That's where his parents were buried. That's where the temple of God had stood before it was destroyed. That's where he learned about God. And every time he prayed, he thought about what he learned back home. Young people, I want to say again to the young people, don't forget home. One of these days when you go off to college or you go off to work, when you leave home, don't forget what you learned at home. Don't forget what you learned in this congregation right here. And when you're off over there and you're tempted to do something that's not right, think about home. Think about your mother and your father. Think about this congregation and what you learned. Daniel did every day. He prayed to God on his knees with his face toward Jerusalem. Well, they were watching. They saw him. They ran straight to the king. They said, "Oh, King Daniel, the man that you're thinking about making head over the whole empire, he's broken your law. He's praying to his God." Oh, the king was upset. He labored. He tried his best to get out of this, but he couldn't. And finally they said, "You've got to fulfill your law." So Daniel was brought. They took him and they lowered him down where the lions were kept. And just before they closed up the entrance, the king, now this is the king, the old heathen king, he says, "Daniel, don't you worry. Your God that you serve continually, he'll deliver you." I tell you, Daniel had an influence on this old man. And he said, "I believe your God will take care of you." Well, he went back to his bedroom, the king did. He couldn't sleep that night. He walked the floor. Finally, when the sun started coming up, he went back and said, "Open up the den." And he said, "Daniel, Are you all right? Did your God save you? And Daniel said, O king, live forever. Last night God sent an angel, and his angel stopped the mouths of those lions, and I'm safe. Oh, the king was so happy. Daniel's pulled up out of there, and then listen, this old king, who was a heathen, and life didn't mean anything to him, he said, go get those men that tricked me into putting Daniel in the lion's den, and their wives and their children, and throw them in. And they did. They threw them in there. And the Bible says before they hit the ground, those lions jumped up and devoured them and broke their bones. But I'm going to tell you something. The name of God was exalted and magnified because an old man of 90 years old, was bold as a lion. When I was putting these thoughts together, I found this poem. And it's called Cold, Old, and Bold. It was cold down in that den. Daniel was old, but Daniel was bold. And I want to read it. I really like this poem. It says, Daniel stood in the lion's den, but he wasn't the least afraid. For God had closed the lion's mouths. He heard when Daniel prayed. But I think Daniel heard the lion's growl from mouths that God had closed tight, because they looked at him with their hungry eyes, but they weren't allowed to bite. All night long, they paced the den on their great big feet, for they were starved, and the food was there, but they weren't allowed to eat. The saliva dripped from their hungry mouths, and their stomachs hurt all night. They looked at Daniel with their hungry eyes, but they weren't allowed to bite. Daniel prayed in the lion's den. He prayed the whole night through. And just as soon as it was light, the king came down there too. And Daniel cried, an angel bright closed the lion's mouths last night. They looked at me with their hungry eyes, but they weren't allowed to bite. The king was glad, and the king rejoiced when he heard what Daniel said. He ordered all those wicked men to be thrown in the den instead. The lions leaped, and the lions roared, and it was an awful sight. For God opened the lions' mouths, and they were allowed to bite. The Bible says that the time will come when we'll stand in the lion's den. This world will be the den, and the lions will all be men. And they will try to destroy the children of God. They will hunt for us day and night. They'll look at us with their hungry eyes, but they won't be allowed to bite. Isn't that great? Listen, we're in the lion's den. Don't you feel like that sometimes? And all around us are wicked men who want to devour us and destroy us. The Bible says Satan, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. But God's going to protect us just like he protected Daniel. And no matter what happens, whether we live or die, God's going to be with us. And we can be bold, just like old Daniel, bold as a lion in serving God. Well, I want to turn real quickly to the New Testament. And I want to talk about two of my favorite people in the New Testament, Peter and John. You remember Peter and John? Now listen, there was a time when Peter and John were not bold. They forsook Jesus. Peter said, I'll never forsake you, but he denied him three times. And John and all the disciples left the Lord alone to suffer. But after the day of Pentecost, these men are on fire and they're bold. In fact, in John chapter 4, they went up into the temple and there was a man who was there crippled. And Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but rise and walk. And that man stood up and walked and ran into the temple. And the people gathered around. They knew this man laid there. And here he was, well. And they were looking at Peter and John. And Peter said, don't look at us as if we did this. You need to understand that it's in the name of Jesus that this man stands here. And he preached a sermon. Well, the Jewish authorities didn't like this. Peter and John were arrested. The next day, they were brought before the Sanhedrin. Now, what we need to understand is this is the same court, the same people that Jesus stood before. And they were the ones who condemned him to death. They thought that was the end of it. But here's these two men who had run off, and they're preaching in the name of Jesus. And they say, who gave you two guys the authority to preach in the name of Jesus and do the things you're doing? And the Bible says Peter and John wax bold. And they said, if the question is, if you're asking by what authority and in what name this man right here stands before you whole, you need to understand it's in the name of Jesus that you crucified. You talk about bold. They said, you guys right here crucified Jesus. It's in His name that this man has been healed right here. The Bible says these judges looked at each other And they said, they've been with Jesus. Jesus wasn't afraid of them, and now they weren't either. And they didn't know what to do. They went into executive session. You know, they went back, and you talk about some wicked men. They said, we can't deny a miracle. I mean, there's the man. We can't deny it's a miracle, but so this thing goes no further. We're going to command them not to talk in the name of Jesus anymore. How wicked, hypocritical can you be? So they come back out. Now, these are judges. This is the authority. They say, we command you not to teach or speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And Peter and John said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They couldn't scare them. Not anymore. And they went out from there, the Bible says, and they continued to preach and speak in the name of Jesus. Bold as lions. And that's because they'd been with Jesus. I want to focus on one thing right here. The Bible says they took knowledge of them that they were ignorant and unlearned men. They were bold, but they were ignorant and unlearned. Now that doesn't mean that Peter and John couldn't read and write, that they were ignorant in that sense. They weren't. What it means is they took knowledge. They hadn't been to the rabbinical schools. They hadn't been to the seminaries. They hadn't been trained like these judges. And they thought these untrained men are talking like they are to us trained theologians. They took knowledge of them. My dad, I want to share this with you. My dad is 93 years old. I think most of you know he's living with my mother in a assisted living place down in Midlothian. And my dad wasn't raised in the church. He obeyed the gospel when I was about 5 years old. I think he was about 30 years old. But my dad, now, and I need to tell you this too. My dad was raised in Alabama, and I think he went to like the sixth grade. And so he doesn't have a formal education at all. But he's a scholar. Now, I'm prejudiced, obviously. He's my dad. But he's a man who knows about as much about the Bible as anybody I've ever been around. And some of you know my dad, and you know that's the case. And so my dad, I've heard him tell this story. He worked at Armco Steel for many, many years before he retired. And for a while, he was a foreman. And so all the people who had leadership positions had to take a class that was taught by a psychologist. And this psychologist was teaching these men how to deal with people, how to be a leader. And so one day they were in the class, and the teacher, the psychologist, said, the question for study today is, what do you all think about the old adage, spare the rod, spoil the child? Well, Daddy said they went around the room, and all those guys said, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in spanking kids. That's old-fashioned. We don't believe in that today. You know, well, finally, Daddy stood up. Now, you'd have to kind of know my dad. Daddy stood up, and he looked around the room, and he said, well, he said, I guess I'm the dumbest man here. He said, I see engineers, I see metallurgies, superintendents, a lot of educated people. He said, I guess I'm the most uneducated man in the room. But he said, I want to tell you guys something. He said, there was a man named Solomon who said, if you love your child, you'll chasten him. And if you don't use the rod, you hate him. So he said, you know what? I think Solomon was smarter than all of you. And he said, I think what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take Solomon over all of you put together. And then he sat down. And Daddy said, you could hear a pin drop. They were all just looking at him. And you know, I've heard Daddy tell that, and I used to wonder, I wonder what those guys were thinking. Maybe they were thinking, bold as a lion. And you know what? If you're right, and you know you're right, you don't have to worry about anybody. I don't care how smart they are or who they are. You're right with God, and you can be bold as a lion. Like my dad, and like Peter and John. Let's be bold as a lion in serving the Lord. Lastly, this afternoon, I want to talk about the greatest of all our heroes, if I can say it that way. And that's the Lord Jesus. You remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, there was an angel who was taking John through a series of visions. And he looked up into heaven, John did, and there was a scroll, a book. And that wasn't a book like we have today. Back then, during that time, they didn't have bound books. It was a scroll. And it was rolled up, and it was sealed with seven seals. And a search was conducted to find someone worthy to break the seals and give the revelation to John and to the world. Nobody could be found worthy. Not a man on earth, not an angel in heaven. And John said he wept. John started crying. But the angel said, "Don't weep, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And he can open that book. And then John says, "I looked and I saw a lamb as if it were slain from the foundation of the world." Now the angel said, "The Lion," but the Lion became a lamb. That's the glory and the mystery of the ages. That God, the Son of God, Jesus, the Lion, laid aside His power, laid aside His glory, and became a lamb and died for us. And because of that, we've been redeemed and saved. And because of that, Jesus was able to give us the revelation that we might know all we need to know. I wonder, do you know the Lamb? If you don't know the Lamb, when He comes back, you're going to meet Him as the Lion. When He comes back someday, He's coming as the Lion, as a judge. Right now, He's the Lamb who died for our sins, and He wants us all to be saved. But when He comes back, it's going to be too late. You don't want to know Him as the Lion. You want to know Him as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Do you know Him? Do you know this Jesus this evening? Have you put your trust and your soul in Him? If not, why not do it this afternoon? Why not come and say, "Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You came and died for me, and I want to serve You. I repent of my sins. Confess Him as the Son of God, and be baptized. Be immersed into water. Come in contact with the blood, and rise up born again, a new creature in Jesus Christ." You can do that this afternoon. This will be the greatest day in your whole life if you'll come and surrender your life to Jesus. Why not do it? If you're here and you're a child of God and you need to come and ask the Lord to forgive, do that. We'll help you in any way we can while we stand and while we sing this song.